Turn in your Bibles, please, to Luke chapter 1, verse 11. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord. Would you read it out loud with me, please? I'm reading from the King James today. Sometimes I use the English Standard Version. Chapter 1, verse 11. Are you ready? 1, 2, 3. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. The title of the message this morning is One Important Angel, and it is this one that stood there in the place of worship and service, and he is speaking to Zacharias the priest. And this is verse 19. Read it out loud, please. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel. So the angel gave his name, Gabriel. And what did he say about himself? That I stand in the presence of God and am sent to speak unto you and to show you these glad tidings. Here's a great story, and we have three births that I want to point out to you in our message, and I want to just make a point by a simple picture here. Here's the birth, the box there that you see up on the screen. The box representing the birth of a baby. My wife and I, we had one of our grandchildren is seven, is a year and a half old. And she stayed overnight with us the other night, and she slept between my wife and I. It reminded us of the time when we were parents raising our children. And this little girl is, we're fascinated, of course, like you are with any child, as they learn to talk and walk and move and so on. And to think that two cells from two people comes together to form a human being is remarkable. I'm reading a little bit here. Brain development begins early. By the embryo's fourth week, there is evidence of nervous tissue. 250,000 cells per minute start migrating outward. They ultimately form six layers. Each neuron knows exactly where to go, what to do, how to link up with as many as 10,000 connections. Any exposure to, we have an internal calendar, okay, the fetus, as the baby is growing up and learning. By the second day after birth, the baby should be able to detect its mother by smell, hearing, and taste. By 1 month, the baby will have preference for looking at its mother. By 3 months, baby's eyes will follow movement, and they can smile in response to a smile. By 6 months, they begin to imitate sounds, grasp objects, and roll over. At 9 months, they sit up and they understand the word no. By 12 months, most babies are saying dada and mama. These language skills improve. They can detect 200 distinct sounds, speaking a possible 6,000 possible languages, and so on. I'm bringing this up because natural science is one of the wonders of God. That God created the universe. And I always love reading about these little things that the science, world of science tells us about. Every bodily action is coordinated by conference calls between millions of neurons in the brain. Like 35 billion employees in a company who stay in touch with each other and are capable of making trillions of decisions every millisecond. I love that. That's amazing. Where did this come from? Well, the unbeliever is saying the box, like that's all there is, the material world. And so we have what? This is the thing that we study. What is a human being? How do they form? When? Where? Those questions. But there's one question that cannot be answered by science, and that is this question, why? Why is this the case? Why are the living things on this planet, when we have gone to the, we travel and we do all our technological survey in the universe to find out, is there life out there? And so far, we have found nothing. Why is it here? Why do we ask the question why? And also, isn't it amazing just to study the systems that are here in this box? And the fact that two human beings could come together and form a human being. I read that in the third week of an embryo's life, the cells that form the heart, they start forming that muscle tissue, and then they start moving, like they start beating. And the electronic sequence, you know, in the beat is important. Like that it would start here and go down across the heart. Like, and this starting at such an early age, and how does the intelligence and the transfer of that information happen in a fetus? And then for this little girl to be lying next to me in the bed and looking at her and say, wow, she is different from me and my wife. But actually, she is also somehow similar. This, to me, is, and to us, is quite a study and also quite fascinating and even, you know, well, we could say incredible. I heard about this blue whale. The largest living animal on the earth is a blue whale. It's 30 yards long. Its blood vessels are so big that a human being could fit inside a blood vessel, and the heart is the size of a Volkswagen. Whoa! Man, that is amazing. And in the world of science, they study it and they look at it and name it and describe it and define it and all of these many systems, neurological, immune system, muscular, skeletal, the human eye, and so on. All of it defined and coming short of saying, glory to God. Glory to God, right? Because when I was in school studying some of these things, that's how it was in class. It would be like, whoa. And then we kind of look around and like, we don't say, glory to God. We just say, whoa, period. So the first birth we want to make reference to today is the one that happens by nature amongst a husband and wife, a man and woman, and a human being comes into the world. Amazing. The second birth that we want to make mention of is this one when the angel comes from God and is speaking regarding Zacharias and Elizabeth having a child. And then months later, this is Luke chapter 1 and verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth. Now look up at our screen here. What I want you to see is there is the material, but there's more. There is the spiritual. What we can't see, what is behind everything that is here. And this is where the question why is answered. It is in another realm that is also here with us. It is invisible. And when the angel came from heaven to visit Mary, the angel was coming with a very unique message. And it says, verse 28, the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. Now Mary could have children by nature, but she's had not married fully, but engaged, and is a healthy woman and capable. But this will happen not by the will of man. There is not a man involved in the story in that sense. It happens from God. That the spiritual world enters into the natural world and another kind of baby is made. Not a baby like you and I, but another kind. And this kind that is born is extraordinarily different, way above and beyond the way we are. Because, as you know, we have the sin of our fathers and mothers transferred to us from Adam and Eve that's been transferred to us and is in our DNA. In our material body is our fallen nature. And that is why when you die, when you leave your body, you actually don't die, but you leave your body and your body drops. Well, that's the end of our sin and the experience of our sin. We no longer are in a sinful body. We leave our spirit and soul that has been born again, which is our third word today for this. So we'll go there in a minute. Turn to chapter 1 in verse 29. When she saw him, she was troubled at his saying. Sometimes when God speaks to you, it's troubling. When she saw him, she was troubled. Well, I would say maybe seeing an angel would be troubling, right? I mean, hearing what the angels say, why is the angel visiting me? I'm not sure about what is happening. There are many things that can come to our mind, but it's not left there. God clarifies. And that's what's important in your life and mine. That it would not stop with trouble, but that we would go on and see more of the invisible. I would like to know not only the material world, but I would like to see more and understand the nature and world that God has that we cannot see, but that because of our new birth, we are capable of getting a hold of, living in, and experiencing who God is and what he has for us. Okay? So read this with me, verse 29. When she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Like, I know you're troubled. Don't be troubled. Don't worry about it. You got favor with God. I'm here on a good mission. I've got good things to say to you. Maybe we could say, it'll blow your mind what I'm going to say to you. But that's all right. You are capable and you can handle it. So, verse 31. And behold, you shall conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Now, in our Bible understanding, these are loaded words. Every one of those phrases are a message in themselves. The throne of his father David, yes, because he's related to David. Even Joseph, who was not the biological father, but the legal father was Joseph, even he was related to the seed of David. The seed of David, you know, genetically, biologically, is there, and Mary is from that family line. She was chosen for this. And the Spirit of God did the impregnating. The Spirit of God used her flesh, her humanity, without a sin nature, which we don't know how to explain that, except that she did not have a man in her life for this to happen. This was the Holy Spirit, and it says it here. Read, it's in there, verse 35, but we'll read 33 and 34. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? Reasonable question. Not a proud question, just a reasonable one. Like, not an arrogance, but there's a humility. I don't understand how this could happen. I don't know a man. This is impossible. I could not have a child. I do not know a man. This could not happen. I mean, this is just how she's processing it. And then the angel says, verse 35, the angel answered and said, The Holy Spirit shall come upon you. I don't know, we could stop there and think about that. What? The Holy Spirit. All right, now let's move from this picture and just think, you know, let's see, how can I do it? Okay, here we go. Okay. Here is the same picture, except this is Mary and no child, no pregnancy, no way it could happen, except for life is more than what you see. Very important. Life is more than us. Life is more than the flesh. But all those neurons that form and all of the cell, all the development of a human being in nature is speaking to us about something that is invisible. We have not seen it yet. God, the throne of God, the resurrected Christ, the coming of the kingdom of God, the reality of God. And when the angel said, Mary, you will have, then And she says, let it be unto me according to your word. She's actually interacting with the spiritual world where God is saying, I am going to do this and it will happen. And as she believes that, it happens. It's verse 35. The angel said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the highest shall overshadow you. Therefore, also, that holy thing which shall be born of you, of thee shall be called the Son of God. That's it. I mean, that's amazing, isn't it? Really? Did it really happen? You know what I mean? Like, really? Was that, did God do that? I mean, really? That God, like God came in the flesh? Like, really? Is that true? It is. You know, it doesn't take much to study in science and look at these things in natural science and then just go one step further and say, glory to God. Where did a whale come from? God. How did my little granddaughter, how did it happen? God. How do you and I exist and communicate to each other and all of these things happening in our lives? And all you can read all this amazing stuff about human beings. And, you know, we say, God did it. How did Christ come into the world? God did it. God brought Christ into the world. The third kind of birth that I want to bring up is just the same thing. It's the same picture, but it's in Titus 3 and verse 5, John 3, verse 5. Here is a man. He's like the box. And he's filled with himself, like we all are. We all have our fears, our plans, our pleasures, our habits, our sins, our believing, our unbelief, our religion, our families, our houses, and all of life, and all the questions about life, and that's what we are. And then I say, what is going on here? Where can I find? If I have 100, I always say, like, if I have 100 men lined up and I ask them all what they believe, I could come up with 130 different ideas. What do you believe in? Or 70, you know, 4 or 5 main religions, Buddhism, Islam, Christianity, Hinduism, and so on, atheism. What do you believe, right? So who will show me? How will I know? Well, we can be sure. If you take all the Sanskrits and the Bhagavad Gitas and all the ancient scriptures, you put them on this side of the table, and you take this book, the Bible, and you put it on the other side, because this is very, very different from these. This one is historical. These are more mythological. These are written from men. This one is written from God. If you take every man that has ever lived, with all religious leaders, all political leaders, all military leaders, everybody that has ever lived, you put them on this side, and you put this one person, Jesus Christ, and he's different. He's the only one raised from the dead. He's the only one that speaks with authority. Verily, verily, I say to you. Buddha said, This is good for me. I've been enlightened. It's good for me. I don't know what is good for you. You got to find your own way. Christ said it this way. Verily, verily, with all authority and assurance, I tell you, he would say verily, verily when he was making his point with authority and saying there is no contest. This is different. I am different. He is the one without sin. He is the one that overcame death. He's the one that overcame the devil. He is the one whose blood washes us from our sin. He is the answer for the world. Now, third point here. Our natural birth, my granddaughter, the birth of Christ, very unique and very different, and now comes our birth, our spiritual birth. It is 1,000 times, if not 1,000,000 times, or even infinitely above and beyond our first birth. When you and I were an embryo in our mother's uterus, attached to our mother's uterus, that was pretty miraculous. But when you believe in Christ, there's something that transcends the material, because it is when God comes into your life and says to you and I, we are children of God. We are born of God. We are saved by God. We are forgiven by God. We are called by God's name. We are not going to live 70 years. Our first birth means 70 years. Our second birth means forever. We will live forever in the presence of God and his angels. We will live with divine purpose without a sin nature. We will live in the righteousness and the holiness of God and never die. We are people connected with the infinite God with incredible eternal purpose, which unfolds to us the plan that he has regarding the world we see here, this material world called the earth, the universe, the material world that is called just matter and space, and that we actually are born to inherit the kingdom of God and never die. It does not yet appear what we shall be, but when we see him, we shall be like him. We don't even know. It's like when you plant a little seed in the ground, you might even get the seeds all mixed up, and you might not even know what that seed is that you put in the ground. But as it germinates, grows, you say, aha, I got a tomato plant mixed up with the geraniums. Aha, I see what it is now. Our new birth, it says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by his mercy he has saved us. By the regeneration, there it is, regeneration of the Holy Spirit. Regeneration, regening, new genus, species. You know, we have genus, a type, a category of a living thing categorized by the word genus and then species. That we are a new generation, that we are a new kind. We are eternal. Now, what about the people that are lost? They pass into eternity. They change into another, they go into another phase, a period, where it is eternal, but without God, without grace, without forgiveness, without faith, without the mercy of God. And you say, Pastor, why is it that way? I can only refer you to God himself, that you and I do not know God as we could know him. And the more we know him, the more we realize that there is such a thing, that people are in this lifetime somehow suspended between heaven and hell. And in this world they taste hell, and in this world they taste heaven. And God is speaking to them in both ways, that the pain that you suffer is an indicator to you of what it meant to sin. Our sin has severely affected us. Our sin is a produces this effect in our heart and in our mind where we are lonely, we are guilty, we are afraid, we are ashamed, and we can feel that in our soul. And God uses it to speak to our hearts and say, please come to me. I didn't make you to feel lonely and afraid and guilty. I made you so that you would know me, you would know my grace, you would know my spirit, you would know my love, you would know my mercy, you would know my wisdom, you would have my mind. I made you to be like my son, Jesus Christ. Amazing. How do we know that this is different from like there's a plan of God and then there's like our way. How do we know the difference? Christ came and showed us the difference. He said, I'm always doing my Father's will. I am in the plan of my Father. And when you walk with me and talk with me, you kind of lose sight of yourself and you learn of me and you take my yoke upon you. And my way is easy. My way is better. My way is love. My way is freedom. You learn of me, walk with me, and you get to know my heart and my mind. He wept over Jerusalem. He had compassion on people. He was busy day and night when he started his public ministry because he cares about people more than you and I could ever imagine. Christ is the messenger. He is the unique one. He is God in the flesh. He is the minister of God's wisdom and the severity of God's mind regarding the lies and the deception that is part of human nature. Christ said, there were times when he'd say, I'm going to just embellish it a little bit, dramatize. He was with the disciples and he could say, what? You don't believe? Don't you know? What? Don't you see it? Can't you understand it? Don't you know that's Mark 7, Matthew chapter 10? And we say, Lord, what are you talking about? He say, you will understand later. But don't you know? Can't you see? And then, of course, in his ministry, he is with them and he knows they're not really. There are times when they are very bright, very alive, very engaged with him, understanding. There were times when they were right there, and then there were times when they were kind of out to lunch. And we need to know this, that as a believer, I mean, take it easy on yourself. Realize that God is a God of grace. Realize what God is doing and learn of him. He's meek and lowly. And we'll start to realize that in life, our new birth has given us a new way of thinking. Our new birth is able now, we're able to say with God, I realize how wrong I can be. I realize how hard I can be. I realize how who you are. I'm learning of it little by little. I'm beginning to understand that you don't condemn me, I'm beginning to understand who you are and what you have to say. And I think prayer is part of that. Like when in prayer we come before God and we just want to, we kind of stop talking and we start to listen and worship and respect him, because I know so little of what is happening. And many prayers that I pray are prayers like this: Lord, help me. I know so little. I know so little about the whole thing, but I want to see the big picture here, like we drew up here on the board. I know this is amazing, but I want to know why. I know this is sad and this is tragic, but I'd like to get a little more insight into what is really happening here on the earth, and help me know this. And he's always saying, I sent my son so you can know it. I sent my son so you can listen to him. I sent my son so that you have a capacity to hear him and walk with him. I sent my son so that the Holy Spirit will reveal my son to you. And if you know my son, then you will know me. If you have seen him, then you have seen the Father. If you listen to me, your yoke will be easy. If you go your own way, it's like a more narrow world. But if you use that as a springboard to say, hey, this could not be an accident. There has to be something more. And you hear the gospel, believe in Christ, you are born again. And now you have a capacity to hear from him and walk with him. Your prayers are heard. Your life is respected by God because he finds Christ in you. That God looks at a person, he sees Christ in the person. And the person is able to come to God not with empty hands, but he comes to God with Christ in his hands. And he says, God, here I am in your name, and you are God, and I am believing you and walking with you, and God will help us and lead us. And then lastly, we'll have more victory over our temptations because of him. We have more of a message in our heart and in our mouth because of him. We have a more of a sense of direction, like when we are getting ready to die. And that's a beautiful thing when it's God's will, when it's time to die, and you say, I am ready, though I go through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me, and thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. That's because of him. Because of him. We have like a steel, like something in our heart that doesn't move because of him. We have a compass. I get lost in the woods. I can pull out. It's him. He is my compass. Amen. I got something going on in my heart, in my life, that's more than flesh and blood. It's because of our new birth. Three births today, our natural one, Christ's birth, so that we could be born again. And the born again one is the greatest. It couldn't happen without his birth. But because he came, he's saying, and Gabriel the angel is saying, I am Gabriel that comes from the presence of God. I come to you with good news. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. And that holy thing that will be formed in you shall be called the Son of God, the Son of the Highest. Thank you, Lord. It's changed our lives. Thank you, Lord. That's our future. We'll never be ashamed of it. It's our way. Your way is our way. Thank you, God. Amen. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, we believe this one, your Son, is the only light in this world, dependable, real, given from you to us. We believe there are spirits of fear that drive people away from you. We believe there are spirits of unbelief that drives people away from believing. We believe there's condemnation and guilt and says to people, you could not be a believer. You could never do this. It could never happen. It's not. All those are lies. Christ comes into the world and says, I came because God loves the world. God so loved it that he sent his only son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. And the voice of God is in this world to say to people, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Learn of me, I am meek and lowly in heart. I will not do any harm to you. I will only save you. I will forgive you. I will restore you. I will give you the new birth. By believing in me, you are born again, born from above. That's for whoever believes in this auditorium, on the internet, anywhere, at any time, in this side of eternity, believe in him. Bow your knee or bow your heart to God and say, God, I need you. You sent Christ into the world so that I could believe. I'm believing in you today, and show me and save me and forgive me and give me this new birth. This new birth will mean that I will never die. I will not go to hell. I'll not be judged with any condemnation. I'll not be in a place of fear. I'll not be thrown away. I'll not be alone. I'll not be banished. I'll not be lost. This new birth means I'm a child of God, and he'll never leave me and never forsake me. This new birth means God is my Father, and the Holy Spirit in me cries out, Abba, Father. This new birth means that your name is in the book of life. This new birth is given to you by God's grace right now to whoever believes. You cannot change yourself. You and I, we're already gone. It's kind of toasted. We're toasted. We're sinners. It's over. We can't change. We're sinners. We must be born again. Not by us improving ourselves, but by believing in Christ. Then you're born of the Spirit. You are born of God, and the nature of God is in you. And this is your new identity. Thank you, Lord. Anyone at all in the auditorium saying to Jesus, I believe in you in my heart? That's between you and God. Anyone at all saying in your heart, I believe in you, God. I believe in you. I'm trusting in you. Anyone in the auditorium? It's a decision that must be made before you pass away. Before Christ returns, now's the time to believe in him and trust in him personally. Trust in him personally. Anyone at all? I want you, if you are, then just the ushers will give you a booklet. Anyone at all, just raise your hand. Anyone here for the new birth? Be born again. Just raise your hand. Anyone? Okay, amen.